fierce and fearless. This is the Steve Gerber Show.
To co-opt a line from Ronald Reagan and apply it to Donald Trump is simply this. Ronald Reagan said, "If I could walk on water, my critics would say, 'See, he can't swim.'" Same thing they would do to Donald Trump. If Donald Trump cured cancer, they'd say, "See how many people in the medical industry he just put out of business, made them unemployed." That's the way they treat Donald Trump. With me, Dinesh D'Souza, the freshly pardoned and rejuvenated Dinesh D'Souza. All right, so you compare Abraham Lincoln and Donald Trump in your new project, Death of a Nation. You're going to get some pushback, of course. "He's no Abraham Lincoln. What's Dinesh D'Souza doing?" But please explain.
Here's what I'm getting at with that. I mean, there's so many of these sort of never Trumper types, and they all keep saying that Trump is no Ronald Reagan. Now, if Trump isn't the inheritor of the Reagan mantle, I don't know who is. But I think when we think of the surreal politics that we've been seeing in this country since Trump's election, I mean, all the kind of craziness going on, the efforts to eject him, as the left says, by any means necessary. You have to think about, you know, when has this happened before, if ever? And the answer is only once. In 1860, another Republican, Lincoln, won a close election, very hard fought, in a three-man race, and the Democrats went berserk. And they wouldn't accept it, and they broke up the country over it. And then they tried to undermine Lincoln during the war, and then they assassinated him after the war. And so the point is that, in a way, I think Reagan would be, in a sense, I think, disappointed, out of place in the roiled waters of today's politics. But Lincoln would not, because Lincoln would recognize this effort ultimately to subvert the democratic process itself by these people claiming a sort of veto power over what the American people decided through an electoral majority.
You know, you've made a good point here, Dinesh, as you often do, but I look at Lincoln and the comments you made about Ronald Reagan before the break and Donald Trump. All three of those presidents that I just listed had incredible headwinds, being attacked by the media, by the opposing party, by whomever, right? All of these criticisms, all of these roadblocks being put in their way. And the biggest challenges were met with the biggest personalities of American history. They rose to the occasion, as has Donald Trump, in my estimation. He's risen to the occasion to take on these challenges head first, whether it's the Paris climate deal, the Iran deal, peace for Korea, crushing ISIS, rolling back, you know, regulations all over this country, lowering unemployment, eliminating the mandate, dropping taxes. I mean, he continues to have a record of accomplishment that is unparalleled in recent times, for sure.
Yeah, what we do, I have this new movie, Death of a Nation. It's out the first week of August, and I have a book of the same title coming out the same time, the same week. And the thing I do in this is I look at the two incendiary big bombs that the left has dropped on Trump since his election. Number one, it's the fascist bomb, or the fascist card. And the other one is the racist slash white supremacist bomb or card. And these two things, although that they're so ferociously aimed at Trump, in a way they predate Trump. Because this whole notion that fascism is on the right, it's a right-wing phenomenon. This whole notion that the Republican Party has somehow, you know, since the 60s been the party of bigotry, the party of racism. These things are now so, they're pushed in the schools, they're in our textbooks, they're taken as the conventional wisdom. We hear it on the History Channel. And so what I wanted to do in this movie is I focus on Trump, I look at the present, but then I also dive into a sort of exploration of these great themes of fascism and white supremacy to see if the fascist and racist tail should be pinned on the Republican elephant or whether it really belongs on the Democratic donkey.
So give us a couple of examples. I know you can pull back the curtain a little bit. Not lift up the white pointy hat hood, but just pull back the curtain a little bit and tell us a couple of the things that we'll learn from watching your film.
Well, we recreate the actual, you may say, the birth of fascism. And the birth of fascism was Hitler, yes, but even before that was Mussolini in Italy. Mussolini established the world's first fascist regime.
Sure.
So just to get a window into Mussolini, here's a guy who was a Marxist. He was the head of the Socialist Party in Italy. He was the editor of the Socialist magazine called Avanti. And he was recognized to be a man of the left. In fact, when he started the first fascist party in Italy, Lenin sent him a telegram of congratulations. Why? Because Lenin knew this was a fellow leftist revolutionary. Somebody else who recognized Mussolini and the left was FDR.
Right.
President Roosevelt admired Mussolini and, in fact, sent members of his brain trust to fascist Rome to study Italian fascism, which he considered to be more progressive than the New Deal. Now, what's interesting about all this, and we, you know, we bring this history right back to life on the big screen, what's interesting about this is that after World War II, all of this became a huge embarrassment. The Democrats, the liberals, they realized that they had been in bed, you know, praising Hitler, praising Mussolini. FDR was praised to the hilt by the Nazi newspapers in the 30s. After the war, all of this became taboo, mm-hmm. and the progressives who are coming to power in the media, in academia, they all went, uh-oh, we don't want future generations to know about any of this. Let's just kind of leave it out of the textbooks. And even more ingeniously, let's try to move fascism from the left-wing column, where it has always belonged, into the right-wing column. So that's why I call this the big lie. It's ultimately not just fake news, but fake history, fake scholarship. And you know, exploding that has been kind of the theme of my recent career.
It's like all part of draining the swamp. How do you get there? Well, when you drain the swamp, the drain gets clogged a lot, and it's kind of a mess. And the same thing that you're doing, exposing the big lie, exposes things that people don't want others to know. Death of a Nation. When will this be available? When is it released?
It opens the first week of August, and I would urge people to, you know, look for the book. You can order the book now, but the movie, go see it if you can in the opening weekend, because it's a little secret about movies that their fate depends heavily on how they do in the opening weekend. We'll open in 1,000 theaters nationwide, but if we do well on the opening weekend, we'll be in 1,500 theaters the next week. So if you can go opening weekend, take your family, that'd be awesome. Because it's a way to put fuel in our rocket, and it's a great movie. I mean, this is a movie that's going to help produce, I think, a big red tsunami in November that's going to simply obliterate the Democrats' little blue wave.
I believe that you're exactly right. Dinesh D'Souza, always a privilege. I appreciate you being here once again. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Look forward to it.